Awesome. Welcome to the Bad Clan Fantasy Football Podcast. Here are your hosts, Blake, Tyler, and Rob.
Motherfucker, I'm awesome. No, you're not, dude. Don't lie. I'm awesome. I'm driving around in my mom's ride. I'm awesome. A quarter of my life gone by, and I met all my friends online. Motherfucker, I'm awesome. I will run away from a brawl. I'm awesome. There's no voicemail, nobody calls. I'm awesome. I can't afford to buy eight balls, and I talk to myself on my Facebook wall. You know my pants.
Hello, and welcome to the Bag Clan Fantasy Football Podcast. I am your host, Tyler. And I am with somebody who is awesome because Rob and Blake decided to bitch out at the last minute. I'm here with Chris. How are you doing?
Yeah, fuck those guys. I'm great.
Yeah, they're terrible. But did you notice how I got through a whole intro with no notes or anything like that and didn't fuck it up? It's weird how that works. That's just a straight jab at Blake. We are going to fly this week because A, it's championship week, so we only have one matchup, and B, Chris is super busy, so we're going to get straight into the news and notes while my dogs bark downstairs. All right, our first piece of news, we have our first coach firing in the NFL this year, Nathaniel Hackett, gone forever.
Yeah, you could say you just couldn't hack it.
You're fired, and in case your ears are fucked, get the fuck out!
Yeah, I forgot how quiet that bumper is. Yeah, you could say he just couldn't hack it. Another thing you could say is this is the third straight week in the fantasy playoffs that Nate's taken L. You know, just we have Nate Sveck losing in the first round, Somsky losing in the second, and now Hackett losing his job. So, you know, there's that. Chris, did this surprise you at all with that? Because he was obviously just hired this offseason. Did this surprise you at all that they're turning over a new leaf already?
No, it didn't. Just because, you know, quick in, quick out, you couldn't cut it. So goodbye, you know.
Fair enough. Yeah, it sounds like they want to completely blow it up with, you know, the Waltons taking over ownership and stuff like that. Good luck. You're tied to Russell Wilson for the foreseeable future, and he just flat out looks bad. So, okay. Unless you're going to pay him to go away, good luck.
And even in the
NFL, you have dead cap, so that doesn't even work.
Yeah, they're screwed for the foreseeable future. What, the bathrooms still have the winning lead over Russell Wilson's touchdowns?
They're tied, Chris.
Oh, well, let's see if we can change it this week against the Chiefs.
Yeah. Speaking of other terrible quarterbacks, the Commanders are starting Carson Wentz this week after he came in at halftime last week. Largely, this probably has to do with the fact that Heinicke has playing-based escalators in his contract. I believe every game that he plays more than 60% of snaps, he gets like $125,000. So, yeah, if you're going to lose, you might as well not pay the extra $125,000 to do it, right?
100%. Yeah, the Commanders, they're not looking too good, and they need to save the money, let's say, for next year's salary cap.
Maybe they should save the money to actually, you know, put up good statues of their players rather than just putting up a Lawrence Taylor statue that, like, is just wire and mesh. But
or maybe to leave Washington and change their name.
There you go. Going back to our next terrible quarterback, the Raiders are sitting Derek Carr this week and going with Jarrett Stidham for week 17. This one, another financial decision. It seems like they're going to move away from Derek Carr in the offseason, which they've been saying for the last three offseasons, but it seems like with the new coaching staff, they really are. And Carr has an injury guarantee of $40 million if he gets hurt in these last couple of games. So no reason to put him out there and, you know, see if he gets hurt.
I just think his eyeliner budget was too high and they just couldn't afford to pay it anymore.
That is also very true. Chris, where do you think Derek Carr lands next season?
I'm sure the Broncos would love to have him. or you know, it's a really tough call. I don't really know where he'll go. I hate the Raiders because it's a Chiefs matchup, but we'll see. We'll see where he goes. I'm sure any team will be lucky to have him. I hope the lights don't blind him.
Yeah, any team will be lucky to have the guy that the Raiders have been trying to get rid of for years. This seems like a perfect matchup for the Colts to get, you know, their like fourth old quarterback in the last 4 years.
Maybe he'll go second string somewhere. Who knows?
There are enough bad quarterbacks out there that somebody's gonna bite.
Yeah, that's true.
But
I mean, someone got Russell Wilson. I mean, the Broncos got Russell Wilson, so there's enough room.
Moving into actually good quarterbacks, Jalen Hurts still dealing with the shoulder injuries, still day to day. Eagles only need to win one more game or have Dallas lose one more game to clinch the NFC East. They have New Orleans this week and the Giants next week. You know, if you ask me, I don't think they play him this week just to see if they can win with Minshew against New Orleans. But what do you think, Chris?
I mean, the Gardner party, the Minshew party was pretty fun last week. I mean, that was a good time. But we'll see. If they don't need to play him, why would they? Why would they risk it? Give another week, let him get healthy, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Speaking of not healthy, Tua suffered his third concussion of the year. And is officially out for this next week. Chris, do they, even if they make the playoffs, do they bench him the rest of the way?
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised Tua has any brain left in him. You know, you can only get concussed so many times before that thing just swells up too much. I would personally not try to keep Tua off the field and in a recovery room to maybe just help him for next year.
Right. Yeah, it's bad. I don't know what you do with Tua anymore, because yeah, three concussions in a year is bad, bad news. So I don't remember what the rule is in high school, because I feel like the rule in high school is that if you get three concussions in a year, you're done no matter what. But who knows?
Unless it's Texas, probably need at
Right.
least five.
Then they're like, send him back out there. He just got his bell rung.
A Longhorn country.
Right. Another terrible quarterback, Mike White, cleared for week 17, keeps the even worse quarterback in Zach Wilson off the field, which is good for the Jets. They face Seattle this week. Certainly something to ponder as you look at DFS lineups. Moving into the skill positions, Christian Watson got hurt with a hip flexor. He is day to day. Packers have a juicy matchup against Minnesota. And you're just going to have to watch the injury designations there. If he's playing, I think he has to be in pretty much all lineups, because Minnesota, I think, has given up seven or eight 400-yard passers this year, which is the most in the league. And we know that Rodgers doesn't normally throw for a ton of yards, but this is a must-win the rest of the way for Rodgers and the Packers if they want to make the playoffs. So, and then biggest news of the week, Derrick Henry, doubtful with a hip injury. It sounds like the hip injury isn't terrible, but he's doubtful purely because this game does not matter for the Titans. No matter win, lose, or draw, next week's game is what their playoff hopes ride on. If they win against Jacksonville next week, they're in the playoffs. If they lose, they're not, regardless of what happens this week. So why not bench your number one asset, the thing that's going to make you win, and hopefully, and they're on a short week with them being the Thursday night game.
Yeah, there's no doubt that you should definitely bench Derrick Henry as much as Blake would probably want him to play, but yeah, they're not going to play him. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, and it's just a pain in the ass for fantasy managers that he's doubtful and not, you know, out, because that would be
Yeah.
easier when if you could just put him in your IR. But yep. With that, we will get into the transactions, because we do have a little bit to do with Derrick Henry.
This shit's unbelievable. I checked the accounts receivable. It's inconceivable to think that you would fuck with me on the brink of my transactions.
All right. So we will obviously basically only go through the transactions for Blake and I, because those are the only ones that really matter. I played a little blocky game because Blake had no fab left and I had $3. So I picked out the three guys on the waiver wire that I would be upset if Blake used to beat me in the championship. So I picked up, we mentioned how Derrick Henry was going to be doubtful, or he was questionable at the time, now doubtful. I picked up Hassan Haskins, the backup. So fuck you there, Blake. Also picked up Greg Dortch, who had a big week last week, as well as Isaiah Hodgins, who I don't remember who Isaiah Hodgins is playing, but I didn't want him to have a big week against me. And that was on actual waivers on Tuesday. Since Derrick Henry has been downgraded to doubtful, Blake has added Kenneth Gainwell and Pierre Strong to his team to try to fill that void left over. Currently, he's not starting either one of those guys, but obviously just preparing for the worst. But certainly not left with many good options. Chris, do you have any comments on these?
I mean, honestly, that was good strategy, Tyler. I probably would have tried to do something very similar to that if I was in a one-on-one matchup for a championship. Like, you know, if you can't beat them with your team, make sure they can't beat you with what they can pick up.
Oh yeah, I'm not playing any of these people. They are purely for blocking and purely just solidifying what I think is a foregone conclusion here. Yeah, I mean, transactions fairly simple this week, so we're going to get right into the, we don't have a game this week because Blake's gone. Oh yeah, I got a game. I got Blake's over under. Oh, I'll even play the bumper for it.
Hello, do you want to play a game?
All right, for Blake's over-under this week, Chris, I need you to guess over-under 12 hours notice that Blake and Rob gave me that we weren't going to podcast today and I had to find a new co-host.
Based on the text message that I received this morning, I'm going to say under.
Oh, it sure was. Guess what? Unless I texted them to see what time we were podcasting, I wouldn't have even known they were out. here we go into the matchups.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Can't wait.
This championship matchup is brought to you by the latest craze in smoothies, presenting Blake's Liquified Team Smoothies. Have you ever had a smoothie and wish it tasted more like Josh Allen? Well, no more. Blake's Liquified Team Smoothies are made from 100% NFL players who failed Blake when he needed them the most. Wow, I got some hair. That's right, some lucky individuals will find genuine NFL player hair in their smoothie. Blake's Liquified Team Smoothies, for when you want to feel so close to actually doing something. Blake's Liquified Team Smoothie Incorporated does not guarantee that you will get hair. More than likely, you'll get a tooth or two. We blend that shit up, but not quite enough. Side effects include nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, and the unmistakable pain of being an abject failure. All right, we will jump right into the only matchup that matters this week, the championship matchup between the Backdoor Hot Snakes and Fantasy Reapers. Chris, since I'm in this matchup, largely I'm going to list off who we got and hand it off to you and let you kind of talk about them. And I'll chime in with, you know, my old stat monkey things as we go. But
yeah, you know, just real quick, the speed on that disclaimer was so perfect. Whoever submitted that ad, just class act.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Blake's Liquefied Team Smoothie Incorporated doesn't fuck around with their ads, so.
No, they do not. They cover their asses.
Right, right, exactly. But let's see, Hot Snakes and Reapers coming in at 7-7. Obviously, that's now 9-7 after the last 2 weeks. Large discrepancy, as we talked about a little bit. Blake currently a 40-point underdog, probably the biggest underdog of this playoff season. At quarterback, Blake is starting Josh Allen at Cincinnati versus Justin Fields at Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, I got to give this one to Justin Fields. He's been putting up big numbers this year, and it seems like he is going to continue to do the same. And, you know, Cincinnati's a tough team. They're a tough team to beat. And Josh Allen's not going to have a great time against them.
Yeah, I did see that, and we'll talk about it when we get to Blake's bench, but he was playing with starting Jared Goff against the Chicagos. And, you know, I don't know, in a matchup where you're this big of an underdog, Goff at home and a high over-under is certainly something to toy with. But, as it stands right now, I would probably go Allen. I think, you know, Allen's baseline is probably a little bit higher than Fields. But the ceilings are very similar. As we get into running backs, Blake unfortunately has to start Devin Singletary against Cincinnati and Cordarrelle Patterson against Arizona, whereas I have Saquon Barkley versus Indy and Christian McCaffrey at the Raiders.
This is pretty clear. You know, Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, they're gonna put up numbers. And I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson's, like, you know, sometimes he's hot. He's had some good games, but not always. And I have never trusted Devin Singletary as a running back personally.
Yeah, Cordarrelle Patterson only in double digits once in the last four games for him. And Singletary with the really poor matchup. Obviously, Patterson versus Arizona, pretty good matchup. Arizona gives it up to the running backs. But, you know, I think this could be a pretty decent Algier game, actually. So, I mean, this was easy in and of itself, but it's even easier with Singletary having the bad matchup. At wide receiver, Blake has Mike Williams versus the Rams and Michael Pittman at the Giants versus CeeDee Lamb at Tennessee on Thursday night and Jalen Waddle with the backup quarterback at New England.
Yeah, I definitely like CeeDee Lamb, but I also like Mike Williams. Like, he's always great. I'm worried about Jalen Waddle with the new quarterback. I don't know if he's going to be at the top of, like, the top performance, obviously. So this one will be a little bit more closer for me. I want to give the edge to Lamb and Waddle, but I wouldn't be surprised if Mike Williams and Michael Pittman come on top.
Yeah, so CeeDee's played with Teddy Bridgewater as the starter twice this year, once against Cincinnati, who is 20th, the 20th best matchup for quarterbacks. And CeeDee went 2 for 39. I believe Bridgewater was under 200 yards that game. So only 5 points. Week 6 then against Minnesota, which we've talked about, terrible defense through the air. He went 6 for 129 for 22 points. And Bridgewater was over 300. So I think against New England, we see something in the middle, but probably closer to that Cincinnati line. And, you know, I just have to hope that Waddle, you know, gets a bigger one. You know, a bigger catch here. I mean, if CeeDee, Tennessee's the number one matchup for tight or for running. Holy crap. I said all the skill positions except for wide receiver. Number one against or four wide receivers. If CeeDee, like, say he comes out and gooses against Tennessee, that's really the only thing that will really make me, you know, kind of start to panic in this matchup, because I'll have so long to wait before the Sunday games and stuff like that. So that could be something that makes me reconsider Jalen Waddle, but I don't think that that's going to happen. I think Dallas takes care of business against Tennessee, who's not going to be able to do anything, and CeeDee probably scores. At tight end, Blake has Dalton Schultz in that same game against Tennessee, against my George Kittle at the Raiders.
Yeah, this is, I want to give it to Kittle, just pretty much hands down. I mean, if it's the Kittle we saw of last year, it's going to be fantastic. Even the last couple games, Kittle has been doing decent, but he did have quite the dry spell before that. So if he keeps up his like progress of the last or the average of his last couple games, it's going to be Kittle, no problem. Yeah. I wish he had a better tight end.
Yeah, Blake. I'll give Blake credit. He called this last week when we were talking about how Kittle had such a bad matchup, or I was talking about how Kittle had such a bad matchup against Washington. But Blake's like, hey, Brock Purdy has always used the tight end, even back to using Charlie Kolar in college. You know, that was a great take by Blake in hindsight. Obviously, 31 points and 35 points the last 2 weeks. Two touchdowns a week, probably not going to happen again, especially against the Raiders. I can't see the Raiders keeping up with the 49ers this week. So, you know, maybe a little bit less, but you know, if I can get double digits from Kittle, I'll be feeling okay. At the flex, Blake is currently starting Zay Jones at Houston and Jahan Dotson versus Cleveland against my DeAndre Hopkins at Atlanta and Kenneth Walker versus the Jets.
Yeah, I'm gonna say, I'm gonna give you guys the flex again, Tyler. Like DeAndre Hopkins, if he, you know, if he goes off, it's gonna be game over. Zay Jones, you know, he could have a couple good passes or good receptions in there, and I don't think Dotson's gonna do much of anything. I could be wrong, but you know, Seattle's been pretty run heavy this year with Kenneth Walker, even though he kind of like ate the big one last week, couldn't seem to get the ball rolling against the Chiefs. But against New York, hopefully better.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I will say in Dodson's favor is Carson Wentz, for whatever reason, hates Terry McLaurin. I believe he only targeted him on one out of 16 dropbacks in the second half. And like his McLaurin's target share with Heinicke was at like 24%, 29%, something like that. And it goes all the way down to 15 or 16% with Wentz. So Wentz really likes targeting the other people in this offense. So I think this is by far the closest matchup of this matchup. So I really just need my people to keep it close, not goose, you know, that sort of thing here. At defenses, probably I would say the number one and number two defenses on the week, the Cowboys facing a backup quarterback in Tennessee without Derrick Henry on Thursday night, and the 49ers facing a backup quarterback in Las Vegas.
I'm going to give the edge to the Cowboys on this one. Their defense has been killing it. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm actually going to go the other way, but I think it's close. I think Vegas, or I think 49ers have the baseline, whereas the Cowboys have the upside here, right? Yep. But 49ers come with a bit of upside in and of themselves. Just looking at my bench, and I'll let you look at Blake's bench after me. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of question marks here. I did flip after that Derek Carr news from the Chiefs defense against Denver to the 49ers. That I think they're probably, you know, back to back as well. So that's certainly something that could flip again. You know, Dak Prescott against Tennessee. Tennessee's terrible against the quarterback, but so is Detroit. So I'm, you know, well, I guess I have to make that decision by tomorrow night. I'm probably just going to go Fields. I don't think they're going to need Dak much at all in the second half. So outside of that, like I said, I use my bench quite a bit to just block Blake. So I think I'm pretty set. Chris, what do you see on Blake's bench?
You know, I see a lot of squandered hopes and dreams. I see an injured Christian Watson, and I see a doubtful Derrick Henry. And in those two players alone, I also see the chances of Blake winning, unless for some crazy unseeable fantasy reason, like going down the drain.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I think, like, this is, like we said, or like I said earlier, this is by far the biggest spread that we've had in the playoffs. And it's unfortunate that Blake has had a couple of these things happen. I would be very scared of Watson if he plays. That's totally a guy that could go off for, you know, four catches for 125 yards and like three touchdowns, something like that. Kind of what he did against Dallas earlier, put up like 43. And I think that's what Blake's going to need to really compete, unless I just get, you know, like I said, a goose or two in this match.
I mean, the only thing the only thing that I could see Blake doing in this situation, and it's what I would consider doing, is you really don't want to do it. You really don't want to do it, but Cortland Sutton.
Yeah.
Does Russell Wilson want to get finally ahead of the bathrooms and just throw a couple touchdowns? And Cortland Sutton is the option there. Like, if Cortland Sutton gets one touchdown, like, he's probably going to be pretty good. He's probably going to be better than either Zay Jones or Dotson. I mean, that's the only thing I would consider. But even then, it's a gamble. But if you're down 40 points in the projection, do you play the gamble? Do you play it safe? I'd play the gamble if you're going to lose anyway. That's just me.
Yeah. I'm looking at this, like I said, this Allen versus Jared Goff matchup. Goff, we know, has been nails at home the last three home games. 23 points against Buffalo, which we know is a great defense, 33 against Jacksonville, and 43 against Minnesota. So, you know, okay, 43 is probably a ceiling, right? Because we know that that's a terrible defense. This is probably going to be the highest over-under of the week. So, you know, Josh Allen last three games, 20 or last four games, 23, 22, 52 against Miami, excuse me, and then 29.5. So I think the floor is there with Allen. The floor is there with Goff, but the ceiling's probably there still with Allen, with him just being able to go nuclear. And yeah, against Joe Burrow, this could turn into a shootout as well. So I'm fine with Blake playing whoever he wants to play here, whoever he feels like has the better ceiling play.
Blake put in Cortland Sutton.
There you go. So I did get picks from Blake and Rob. They are both picking the Reapers. I am also going to pick the Reapers. So Chris, as our guest host, who are you picking in this matchup?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty clear. The Reapers are going to reap Blake's into second place.
No. We're going to liquefy Blake's team.
Oh, yeah, that's right. According to the sponsor, the smoothie, Blake's team will be liquefied. And hopefully a lucky contestant will get a bit of Josh Allen's hair.
There you go. Chris, do you have any dice in front of you?
Actually, you know what? I do. I do have some magical dice here.
Give me a roll, Chris. Tell me what dice we're using and kind of give me a description of the dice before you roll.
I'm going to reach into it magically and let's see. Oh, we got a D20,
beautiful. What's that dice look like? What do you got?
It's gold and purple.
Nice.
Shiny.
Perfect. Roll it. Let's see who the dice take.
All right. We got a 15.
That's going to be a clean sweep for the Reapers as the home team. So dice on the right side of history for once. I will say, so looking at this year's picks, Rob did finish in first place at 50 and 24. He was above his average. His overall is 221 and 124 for about 64%. Blake and I currently tied, and we will remain tied since we picked the same, at about 55%, 41 and 33. Overall, Blake is, it looks like, 4.5 games ahead of me. He's at 206 and 140 for a 59.5% winning percentage. I'm at 201 and 144 for 583. The dice this year below 500, overall, they are 71 and 72 in the last, 2 years. So if I win this week, they are exactly at 50%, which is where you'd expect them to be because they're dice.
Yeah.
and our guest hosts, because the only time we've had guests was when you and Sam were on and you picked yourselves. So our guest hosts are 1-1. So you have the chance to either tank the guest hosts or make them our leader in the clubhouse.
Damn. Well, it's funny how statistics work. Dice are always right. They don't lie. But exactly. That's great. Rob, you should be betting money on this.
Well, look, anytime you bet money. Oh, speaking of betting money, I do have an update on our dollar bets as well. Because Rob, when he bets money on other things, is not good. Rob finished last on our dollar bets, lost $5. Blake and I had a dollar bet from last week. I gave him Kittle plus 10. Kittle beat Kelsey outright. So Blake ended up down $1 and I ended up $6. So go me.
What does that put you guys on in the end of the year? Is that just you, Blake is -1 and you're +6?
Blake is -1, Rob's -5, and I'm +6. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Now Rob placed 5 bets, lost all of them. Blake placed 11 bets and lost what, 6 out of 11, won 5 of them. I placed 14 and won whatever that math comes out to, right? Won what, 10?
Yeah, you're winning. That's about it.
All right, Chris, any last thoughts before we play Huey Lewis and get us out of here?
No, it's been a wonderful season. I am proud to be in the loser's bracket, and I'm just happy that Rob lost, or no, Nick lost. No, Rob lost. Yeah, oh, yeah, Rob is lost for the second year in a row.
Back-to-back terrible.
Yeah, back-to-back terrible, and that might be his new new name for next year.
Ooh, back-to-back terrible. That is that, ooh, yeah. I got to start thinking about that. Here's the bad part. I'm already thinking about renaming Rob, and we haven't even played the game yet. That's where I know
confidence
is going to fucking happen this week. Like, Cordell Patterson's going to have 5 touchdowns, and all of a sudden I'm going to be like, great, that's 75 points. Perfect. Like, yeah, and I'm going to hate my life. But
well, it'll be fun to watch your guys' game and how it turns out over this week.
Yeah, for sure. With that, we'll play Huey Lewis.